time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson. Nerd
Up. Welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson, and I'm kind of by myself, but not quite. Once again, like these times when I sit by myself, I'm with a guest, and well, we got Matt Shore with us. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good, especially now that I'm talking to somebody that has got a great little comic book coming out. And I'm a fan of comics. Everybody knows. That's why I have the podcast anyway. But you intrigued me with this one. It's called Moby Dick, Back from the Deep. And I've started to read it. Basically, you're publishing this as a webcomic right now, but you've got a Kickstarter going to get this actually into a published, you know, hold-it-in-your-hand comic book. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. So basically, I picked up your web comic, and I'm caught up on it, and at least so far, but you got me just hanging on edge. I really want to get more. Basically, it started out like kind of like Jaws, in which, you know, this is going to be a danger at the beach. Some people have died, and it's a big white whale. And the big white whale, I'm guessing, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to let you tell us. First of all, what is the basis to the story of Moby Dick, Back from the Deep?
The basic premise was just to ask the question, what if Moby Dick was still around? What would that be like? And I think the answer is it would be really, really bad for everybody who gets in his way.
Right.
The Jaws motif, you're not far off. My initial idea was to start with that. And I don't want to give away too much here at the very beginning, but my plan was to start with a very, very familiar Jaws feel and then just take a really, really hard left turn.
Yeah, and I have a feeling I know what that left turn is going to be, but I don't want to give any spoilers because I want people to read this for themselves. But I have a feeling he's not just alive all these years. That's the only hint I'm going to drop. Well, first of all, what got you to want to write this story about Moby Dick?
It goes back quite a ways, several years. Of all places, the San Diego Comic Convention. I've only been there a couple of times, but the one time I was there, I was hanging out with one of my artist friends, and I just floated this idea past him, and I said, listen, you know, if there was a comic about Moby Dick still alive today, and he's all zombified and grotesque looking, how do you think that would go? And his immediate response was like, I would read the crap out of that book. So I felt like that was a good green light to go with. So from there, I just started asking questions like, again, you know, what if Dick was around? What would it be like? You know, what sort of ramifications would that have? And the story really just kind of grew out of that.
What is your background in comic books and in general? Is this your first? What, and if not, what have you done before?
This would be my second, actually. My first one was a little comic I did for Asylum Press. It was called Jesus Christ Demon Slayer. The premise for that book, it was just a three-issue miniseries that we did, and it was only distributed digitally. I put together this story based on the concept of where was Jesus during the 3 days between his death on the cross and his resurrection. And the old story was that, you know, he went to hell and defeated Satan once and for all. So I took that concept and used a lot of creative license so that you basically have Jesus running around the pits of hell with a flaming sword, fighting demons and monsters, and ultimately facing down Lucifer himself.
Oh, wow. So if anybody wanted to pick that up, is that still available anywhere?
Yeah, it's still on Comixology if anyone wants it.
Okay. So Jesus Christ Demon Slayer, that you got me intrigued on that one too. So I guess, you know what really gets me are when people do these little, like I would almost call this a mashup, but a mashup of, you know, some different styles. And I really like the idea behind it. And I mean, you, like I said, you had me at Moby Dick alone, first of all. I mean, I just read that book, I'd say again, maybe about 10 years ago. And the book itself, of course, it's just a classic piece of literature. I read it 10 years ago, and you know, it's a classic piece of literature. It's just, it's basically the writing is what you're in for. You're not, the story, you know, that pushes it along, but it's the way of writing and all this other fun stuff that goes behind it. But what you've done is you've taken this Moby Dick concept and actually created something that's got some excitement to it. I mean, you know, I mean, the book Melville wrote was huge. So there's a lot of boring parts.
Yeah.
So, and you've already, how many pages are out on the webcomic right now? Do you know offhand?
At this point, it'll be 20.
Okay.
Wait, I take that back. I forgot the prologue. So 24 pages.
Wow. Okay. So, How long do you plan on the book being? Well, I guess it's going to be several issues, right?
Yes, there is an end date in mind. Ultimately, I have 5 issues planned.
Okay. So this is definitely an ongoing, because I'm like, nothing, you know, there's nobody been, I take that back. There's already been a couple people eaten, so never mind. There have been people eaten, and Moby Dick ate them. So, it's just a bizarre story, and I don't know. I like the fact that you take a classic fictional character and have just modernized him. I mean, a lot of people do this, but you've got him in a lot of fun. I mean, like I said, the first few pages. Now, this is going to be a black and white comic, and any plans on doing any color, or are you just like me and just love the feel of black and white comics?
I plan on keeping it black and white. When it comes to horror comics, it really helps to give that sort of just sort of a grim, almost despairing sort of atmosphere to the story. Even when, you know, you're in your so-called happy moments, like where people are just having fun on the beach, I think the fact that it's still kind of stark and black and white still keeps, when you're reading it, you still kind of know, okay, there's something bad out there.
Right.
So you're never quite settled. I try to get people as relaxed as possible before Moby Dick comes out and causes chaos.
That's the point of a good horror movie, a good horror comic book. Get them nice and relaxed and scare the crap out of them. That's always good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, I'm a big fan of the old Warren comics, you know, the creepy, eerie, Vampirella, stuff like that. Is that kind of an influence on you?
A little bit. If anything really influenced me with a lot of my story today, it would be stuff like, you know, the Tales from the Crypt.
Yep.
I still remember when that was first released on, basic cable. Like, up until then, I able to see it, and I was 10 years old, and boy, I was excited to watch this for the first time.
Right.
All that stuff, yeah. I'm trying to think of various other things. That might have been the biggest influence on me, though, but I mean, I watched whenever I could on television, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, 13.
Oh, I remember
all those old slasher films probably influenced me a lot.
Yeah. Then they turned them into, like, little weird TV series and the vignettes of horror
stories.
Yes,
they did.
They were interesting,
they did. They had their charm, but there's also a reason they didn't last long.
Exactly, right. Now, without giving too much away, what is going to happen? What's your plans for Moby Dick in this comic book series?
Well, I will say, of course, after all the things that happen in this that are currently happening in the latest pages, is all going to come together to try to decide what in the world they're going to do about this thing. And we'll see a lot of the worst elements of town, where certain people, they want to not do anything because it's going to hurt the bottom line. And meanwhile, there's, you know, our main character, Catherine, and her father are just horrified that people, nobody cares, and all these people just died, and all they're worried about is making money.
Right. That's kind of like the beach and Jaws. Whenever that happened, they said, oh, no, we got to stay open on 4th of July. So, yeah, I see
Yes. You're
borrowing from that. genius.
All the while, there's going to be this mysterious character who's going to turn up within a couple of weeks, as a matter of fact.
I do like the horror stories that turn out to be like a survival, you know, like Walking Dead, you know. Sure, there's zombies, but it's more of a survival story than anything else. Is this going to be one, or is this going to be a constant horror going on?
I would describe this as constant horror, because a big thing that's going to be going on, we're going to be following this whole story from Catherine's perspective. And she's going to be just witnessing a lot of horrifying things, a lot of tragedy. And as we go along, there's just going to be this sort of slow descent into madness that she's going to suffer, that we're going to follow.
Nice. All right. I'm liking where this is going. So now you've got this up on Kickstarter right now. Like I said, you're releasing it weekly as a webcomic. What made you want to go to the
Yes.
one more step and get a Kickstarter launch to get you an actual printed comic book?
It's just the next step, and the same reason why I started the webcomic in the first place. I felt like I had a really good story, and I just wanted to get it out there to as many people as I could. And it's been great doing it as a webcomic, and it just feels to me like putting it out there as an actual physical printed comic, and also potentially make it available on platforms like Comixology. It just seems like the next step to, you know, just to make it readily available to everybody who might want to check it out.
Judging from what I've read so far, alone, that story is building so much that I just have to. I have to read the next one. I have to. And to be honest with everybody out in the listening world here, I backed this comic book. I thought, hey, this is a great idea. I want to see this come to fruition. So I got my money in there. So people, you can do that too. I got a link on the nerduppodcast.com website, and you can make your pledge. You can link directly to the Kickstarter. I'm also going to put a link inside the posting for this podcast. And again, at the end, we're gonna Matt's going to give us all the summaries on how to get in touch with him and also how to find him on Kickstarter. Actually, it's pretty simple on Kickstarter. Just look for Moby Dick Back from the Deep on Kickstarter. You'll find it. And trust me, this thing needs to be funded. It needs to go out there. Now, you have different levels on your Kickstarter. Can you explain some of these levels? Talk about what all you're giving away with your Kickstarter as people, well, you're not really giving it away because people are helping fund the comic. So what are your levels on your Kickstarter?
Sure. The smallest one, of course, if anyone just feels like giving us a dollar, that's certainly fine, and we appreciate that. If anybody wants to kick in $3, that'll get them a PDF copy of the whole first issue once it's finished. I believe the next step up will also, for like $6, we'll give them a completed PDF plus a high-resolution copy of the cover art by Joe Bilicek. He's done the cover art and the interior art. I want to make sure I mention him. He's done a phenomenal job on this. The next one up, if I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to do these all off the top of my head, the next one would be the actual physical comic. After that, if they go next step, I'll even give them a signed copy. Beyond that, there's also, if people are interested and they want to actually get a mention in the book, we'll give them a put together a thank you page to thank everybody who backed us and supported this comic. And the top one, I believe the top $50 one, that's if anybody wants to actually make an appearance in this comic, we'll find a place where we can draw them in and try to show them as prominently as we can.
Nice. Now, how many of those do you have? Usually those, something like that is limited.
Usually it is. We've got two so far, I believe. Our goal is relatively low as comics go, so I haven't put a limit on it. I hope that wasn't a mistake, but we'll see. We'll see how this goes.
You know, though, if it can't be a mistake, if you know that gets a lot of people to do it, and you have like 50 people pledging the $50 limit, hey, you got it going.
This is true. If that works out for us, that'd be great. And we do have some scenes coming up with where there'll be a lot of crowds of people, so we can work a lot of people in there if we have to.
There you go. I want to get eaten by the whale. No. So, some Kickstarters also have stretch goals. If you go past, you know, funding and goes further than that. Did you plan for that, or did you just go in for the minimum?
If we reach the minimum, I will be thrilled. This is actually my first Kickstarter, so I'm learning a lot of things as I go. Mm-hmm. I did months of research ahead of time to try to understand it as best I could. But, you know, like so many things in life, you don't really know it until you do it.
That's for sure.
So I'm still discovering new things. But as far as stretch goals go, if we reach our goal, I'll probably reevaluate then and start considering like what kind of stretch goals we can do, ways that we could give back to people, that sort of thing.
Right. Yeah, that's always something that like people and you know, usually people that are first time Kickstarter, it's like that they're like, oh, I just hope it gets funded. That's all I want.
Yeah.
And then after that, then you start getting extra, and you're like, oh, you know what? I want to reward these people. Some people don't even put the stretch goals until at the end anyway.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, I'll tell you that so far, like I said, I think last time I checked, you were pretty well on your way to being fully funded. I think, I want to say like 75% or something like that funded. Is that right?
I think so. Yeah, okay. Last I checked, last I saw it was like 73%. So,
okay,
so 73,
like, yeah.
75.
Yeah.
Yeah, after 1 week, that's fantastic.
That's all it's been up is 1 week. Nice. That's, you can't go wrong there. So now... whenever you do get this funded, when everybody, one of the things I see that you've got positive going for you is that you're releasing this as a web comic. So you've already got the artwork there. It's just a matter of getting it all printed and distributed at that point. So I've seen a lot of Kickstarters where, you know, they don't even have a lot of the artwork. You know, they have like a few pages, and then when it gets funded, then they do the rest of the artwork, and that can be a delay. But it doesn't sound like there's going to be much of a delay on your end on this one. So once again, go to Kickstarter.com, look for Moby Dick Back from the Deep, and I'm telling you, this is going to be a fun comic. I mean, just looking at what I've read so far, and what's the website where people can check it out on as the webcomic?
Yeah, sure. If you want to check it out online, it's just backfromthedeep.com.
Oh, that's easy. I like that.
Yeah.
So, okay, backfromthedeep.com. You can actually check out the read it from page one up until, and you're doing this weekly. Are you going to do this until issue one is completed, or are you going to keep going with the other issues?
My plan is to keep going. I'm probably going to talk to Joe once we finish this first issue and just say, hey, you know, would you like 1 week off before we jump into issue two? And I'll leave that up to him. But otherwise, no, the plan is to just keep right on rolling along.
Okay, so now with we've got your background and information. The guy that's doing the artwork, what's his name again?
His name is Joe Bilicic. He's based out of I'm probably saying it wrong because we've never had a chance to talk by phone. But Joe Bilicic, he's based out of Florida, and he runs a small art studio called Brave New Garage Studio.
And has he got any experience previously in comics, or this is a new foray for him?
I think comics are fairly new for him. A lot of his stuff has been working with video work and graphic design for that. I wish I can remember at the top of my head some of the projects that he did. It's been so long since we talked about it.
Well, maybe they can go, you know, check out the website and get some more information. But let me tell you, I am very impressed with the artwork. He's done a great job. It's got the right amount of shadows and knowing, implied action, implied impending death. So, I mean, there's all sorts of, there's one moment where, towards the beginning, where someone gets eaten by this whale for the first time. There's a big eyeball. It's a girl that I think she falls off a boat or something. And just that scene alone in that little piece right there in the comic is like, just, it tells so much. That huge eyeball in that one frame. So, yeah, his artwork's really good.
Yes. Speaking of that, when I first was looking for artists, I put out a call on digital webbing, and several people responded, and his was the one that just really stood out to me the most because it had and I hope I'm not overselling things here, but it reminded me a lot of Mike Mignola with Hellboy, with just that kind of, it had this real mythical quality, yeah. I guess, for lack of a better word. It wasn't just straight up drawings of people. There was this sort of added layer of just shadows, thicker lines, and it just really conveyed the look and feel I really wanted for this. I wanted to have kind of a mythical, otherworldly feel since we were dealing with such a, it wasn't just like this giant sea monster. It's this giant sea monster that's really got some, for lack of a better word, some depth.
Yeah, pardon the pun. You're absolutely right, and he pulls it off great, and the ratio and everything else of the size of this thing compared to everything else it's destroying, perfectly done. And like I said, you intrigued me with the title. Started reading the first few pages, and I couldn't stop. I had to read until as many as you had printed out or published, and I'm like, okay, I got to have all these. I want to see these. And then I'm like, okay, yes, I got to fund this because now I want to read the whole thing and I want to hold it in my hand. So, but yeah, I'm glad to see that.
Well, great thing.
Yeah, but glad to see that it's going pretty well. I mean, like I said, 73% at the first week. That's not too shabby at all. Hopefully, well, I don't see this not getting funded. But yeah, people, go out and search it on Kickstarter by Matt Shore. And I'm horrible with names unless I say it like a bazillion times. What's the artist name again?
Joe Bilicic.
All right, so those guys are just working their butts off to get this comic. Anything else you got to cover?
That's my biggest project going right now.
Okay. Well, tell the people how they can get a hold of you and wrap up again with your websites and everything.
Okay, sure. If anybody wants to reach out to me, if you want to just email me directly, it's just Matt Shore, MattSchorr, @hotmail.com. You can also reach me on Twitter @TheMattShore. I'm also on Instagram @TheShore. See, then there's also my website. If you need to reach out to me there, it's just www.mattshorr. It's MattSchorr.net.
And once again, the website for the webcomic?
The webcomic, once again, that's backfromthedeep.com.
All right.
Nice, straightforward, and simple.
Yeah, and easy to find. And I'm telling you, people, once you see the artwork, you're going to read the story, you're going to be hooked, and you're going to want to fund this. So, again, search on Kickstarter and for Moby Dick, Back from the Deep. It's going to be rewarding. And, Matt, I'm looking forward to this. Whenever you get this one published and you start on your next few issues, I'm probably going to pull you back on here again and see how wildly crazy things are for you. Be prepared for another interview.
Hey, absolutely. That sounds great. Thank you.
Well, I guess that does it for this segment of the Nerd Up Podcast. Once again, I'm Gil T. Wilson. You can reach me on Twitter, @GilWilson. And also, don't forget, go to our website, nerduppodcast.com, check out our merchandise, buy our t-shirts, do everything you can to fund this. In fact, you know what? I want to get this comic book funded. So instead of buying a t-shirt for once, or go and fund whatever you're going to spend on our t-shirt, go fund this comic book. It's because I think it needs to be funded. It looks like a really good book, and I'm hooked, and I need to see it. I want to hold it in my hand. So I'm just helping. But anyway, yeah, but you can buy a t-shirt too, I guess. All that other fun stuff, it's all on our website, nerduppodcast.com. Nerd up.
All right, so my point about Kill Bill is, and in relation to the Hulk's, to the Hulk's part in Infinity War. You've seen Kill Bills, and I understand that this is a very dated reference. Okay?
Yeah, bro, yeah.
But Kill Bill 1 and Kill Bill 2 were very different movies. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what I hated about Kill Bill 1 was probably what people loved about Kill Bill 1. To me, there was almost no story for number 1, whereas 2, it got deep. All action in number 1. Some action in 2, not as much. More storyline.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that in number 2 of Infinity War, whatever they're going to call it.
Right.
Or Avengers 14, whatever the thing is going to be. I hope that Hulk actually has a freaking story for, one, why he can't produce a boner. You know, that backstory there would be great. And also, more prevalent role in the second one.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing. There's a whole thing of Hulk missing. First of all, you know, they had the Ed Norton origin story of Hulk that we have in the Marvel Universe.
Yes.
They're considering that part of what...
They are considering it part.
And so Mark Ruffalo is now the Hulk because, you know, hey, why not?
Well, wait, let me ask you this, though. Because, okay, that just sparks a question, but please, I do want you to explain. Is there another version of, you know, in the Marvel world, whatever, of a character changing like that? I mean, I understand Spider-Man, but really, he wasn't really a part at that time, right?
You mean origin story? Is that what you're talking about?
Or, well, just like how the actor changed, basically, how it went from Ed Norton to Mark Ruffalo now.
Oh, no, not really.
Is there another case of
really.
That?
Well, yeah. What's his name? The guy that played Falcon.
We talked about him a little bit ago.
Well, not Falcon. I'm sorry.
Terrence Howard.
Yeah, Terrence Howard, who was originally
War Machine.
War
right?
Machine.
Yeah.
So yeah,
which
that.
Are very similar, by the way.
Yeah.
If we're being honest,
they're
with
each other. They're both flying, armored.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
one's made by Captain America's team. One's made by Iron Man's team. So
yep.
You know. But anyway.
And they're both black.
yeah, that's got that too. So
rude. But anyway, please explain.
I almost forgot.
You were talking about Ed Norton to Mark Ruffalo as, but they still counted Ed.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's still an origin story for Hulk. Okay.
Right.
They're still using that. So we've had the origin story. And then he showed up in the Avengers, and it's like, okay, I can see that. You know, all the other characters, Iron Man had an origin story, Thor had an origin story, all this stuff. Well, now the Hulk, the point when he left the Avengers and ended up with Thor on that planet is a huge gap of missing stuff. There's World War Hulk, Planet Hulk, not necessarily in that order, but Planet Hulk, he what happened is he landed on this planet, he became the ruler. Then there's an uprising, and that's the World War Hulk. And that's why he was in that armor in the Thor movie.
Okay, I got you. Yeah.
And so, because he, after World War Hulk, he ended up being with the Collector fighting his battles. So,
the Collector, huh?
I've not met the Collector.
Not the Collector. The Collector was in Guardians. Not the Collector. Game Master?
I
have to look that up. I can't think of the name. Jeff Goldblum's character in Thor.
Oh, yeah. Okay, which was an awesome character,
by the way.
And we actually talked about that.
And he's shown up in Marvel before. So the sequels to Avengers, that's the one that's going to have Captain Marvel, as we saw at the end of the movie, and whatever else. But they got to have different stories to tell from here on out.
Right. So it's time to, like, almost similar to wrestling, it's a repackaging.
Right.
Not the characters aren't changing, but there's going to be new stories that are going to lead up to the next one of these.
Oh, that, and also they got with the Hulk a backstory to tell.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There's all sorts of material there to work with.
They're giving that character some depth.
Yeah, yeah. And not only that, but there's some great stories in there too. So, and maybe that'll work into where they can do that Fantastic Four movie correctly once in a while, or if they can ever get the licensing.
So who's in the Fantastic Four one more time? I know Silver Surfer was a big part of that.
He was one of their enemies that was in the movie, so that was horribly done. So Silver Surfer, okay,
he's
in the Marvel world. He's not part of Fantastic Four.
I got you.
You got Sue Richards, the Invisible Woman. You got Reed Richards, who is Mr. Fantastic Stretchy Man. I just like to call him Stretchy Man. Then there's Johnny Storm, who's the Human Torch, and Ben Grimm,
the Rock guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I remember these.
All right. So anyway,
they suck though, huh?
They haven't told their story right.
So you're
no
hoping
sense.
For a reboot?
Yeah, yeah. And
reboot new actors.
I'm hoping that Marvel Cinematic Universe will be able to get back those old properties and do that. But that's beside the point because we got so many other movies to watch, and I love
so
that.
So many,
especially with the Captain Marvel. I've been looking forward to her movie for a long time. So ever since they first said they were going to be doing that, I'm like, that's going to be cool. I want to see it.
And is that going to be the next version of Avengers, or is that going to be her?
I think that's how they bring people back to life after Infinity War.
So, which we discussed on this podcast. Mm-hmm. But do you think that we see her before the next reincarnation?
Well, I think her movie, which is next, 2019, I think that's the one that's going to bring back the Marvel world at that.
Oh, moment. But it won't be another Avengers movie. It's going to be...
Right. It's like Captain America Civil War was not an Avengers movie, yet all
but
the Avengers
all
were there.
The Avengers, except for Hulk.
Except, yeah. Yeah.
He literally said, you think we get a Hulk here?
Yeah. That was the one... The Avengers Age of Ultron, that's the one where Hulk took off to the other planet, so... That time period, that's where
I
this
I need to see
happens.
Ultron, man. I saw Captain America Civil War last night. I got to see Ultron, dude.
And who was most prevalent in...
There you go. Honestly, okay, so while watching, and I guess I'll bring it up, even though it has almost nothing to do with what we're talking about now. My wife kept pointing out that Captain America, super, super white in the movie. Like mm-hmm. They whited out his face for some reason, mm-hmm. and they made him kind of look like the Twilight guys.
Shiny
tipped
vampire.
His hair. You know what I mean?
Oh, huh.
She's like, why are they making such a handsome person look so ugly? I was like, that's not a terrible call.
He's on the wrong side of the law. Well, not really, but you know, he gets the beard in Avengers.
I think he looks great with the beard.
Yeah. See, and he's kind of not Captain America. He's the nomad now.
Yeah.
That's Captain America. Steve Rogers went out and had this really cool costume as a nomad, but anyway. In fact, they got a reference to that costume in Infinity War. There's some buckles that are on his uniform, and they kind of remind people of that. So anyway, all right, overall.
Overall, we're jumping right into overall.
What'd you think of Avengers?
Well, what did you think of my Kill Bill theory?
I don't know yet.
Well, you've seen Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Okay. When you watched it. Mm-hmm. And you've seen both of them, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, see, here's the problem with that. I saw them both together.
Back to back?
Yeah.
Okay.
You didn't get
the wait for it, right. The anticipation. Right. I understand that. Okay.
Unless you count the wait for an anticipation for...
You know, the popcorn to heat up and the bathroom
yeah,
break
exactly.
to be over, and then you're back, or you're right back at it.
Yeah, I just didn't get to see it that way. So I have a hard time looking at it from that point of view, but I understand... Yeah,
okay, then which one was your favorite?
I would have to say two. A lot more fun.
A lot more fun. And it just, there was a more of a story to it, man. Mm-hmm. Dude, I'm going to be honest, though. Top three worst ways to die, one getting burned alive, two drowning, and three is being buried alive.
Uh-huh.
That
uh-huh.
is scary. Can you imagine? Anyways, let's
not
get
into
it.
Did you scratch your way through it till your fingers bleed?
Honestly, man, I tried to take a nap. I tried to sleep as much as I could. I would try to take myself out of that
just
spot.
Fall asleep, and eventually you'd breathe. Yeah, the run out of oxygen, and you'd be asleep. So
that's what I would.
What I'd do too.
I mean, but the adrenaline—it's going to take a while.
Yeah.
Anyway, overall, man, dude, I really thoroughly enjoyed Infinity War,
mm-hmm.
and honestly, I've been trying to get my. I want to take my son to it.
Yeah.
Because it's a long movie. He's only four, but I think that with all the action in Infinity War, I think he'll be okay.
Okay.
I think he'll be okay.
That's one thing at that age. If it doesn't have the action, they're going to make their own action.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And
I'll have to get that balcony spot again and let him run around.
But otherwise, yeah, I can tell you that he'd be very entertained by it, I think.
Absolutely. Now, how many times have you seen it?
Me? Just two.
Just two?
Just two.
I think two's enough for a 2.5-hour movie.
I wanted to go see it again on IMAX.
Absolutely. Well, dude, look, there's IMAX in Evansville.
But are they showing it?
We can check. I don't see why they wouldn't be.
Right.
It just came out.
Oh.
IMAX in Evansville? Me and you, man?
Well, it's been out
Book
for
it.
A while, so yeah.
Book it. I'll look into that.
All right, we'll look into that.
Okay, so a couple other things.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that we will see... a second version of Black Panther sooner rather than later?
Yeah.
And so. You've already looked into this, or
no? I have not. I do know they're planning another one. I know that much. I don't know any time line that they have running on it, where, when, whatever. But I do know they're going to do another one, and I'm hoping it's sooner because of the effects of Black Panther, the movie, and then also in this movie.
Now let me ask you this,
hmm?
Because I think that you would agree that Infinity War. Very good.
Yeah.
And it's breaking records.
Yep.
Right. But is it breaking records to you? Would you say it was what you wanted it to be?
It really was what I wanted it to be. I mean, when these stories are told comic book form, you wait a year, a whole year. Each month there's a new issue coming out, or sometimes one a week, and then the whole story is finally told at the end of the year. And they do, I mean, this story especially, it actually has two of them, two storylines that lasted a year that I was wondering which one was going to get told on this one. But yeah, so you got to put up with waiting. That's that Kill Bill thing there now.
Yeah. Well, that's great. The anticipation is great.
Right. And then now you see it in the movie and how they did it. You know, they go from character to character. It's like going, okay, this month in Captain America, we continue on with the Infinity War, and you read Captain America's story. Then now in Guardians of the Galaxy, here's the continuation, issue number 2 of Infinity War. And, you know, that's the way they do it. And that's the way they were doing it in the movie. And I'm like, that was so great. Because how do you tell a story with that many freaking heroes?
That many freaking kids. Yeah.
I'm like, holy cow. And so then they did it. And they did it exactly like if you were reading the magazines month to month. But you only had to wait, what, maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
All right. I want to jump to Black Panther for a second. But yeah. I want to ask you this. The villains. That's a new one. Mm-hmm. Villains and prevalent. The villains in this movie.
I think villains is like a whole bunch of villains together. You get villains and villains of villains.
You know what? I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I think so. All right, go ahead.
It was very nice of you to have my back like that. Anyway, the villains in this movie were kind of weak sauce. You know, I figured that Thanos would be traveling with a better group of dudes, but, you know, not too hard to defeat. Besides the forgive me for not knowing the name. The bad guy that captured Doctor Who.
Doctor Strange?
Doctor Strange.
Really,
he was the strongest one, I thought.
It wasn't Corvius Glaive. It wasn't Black Dwarf. It wasn't Proxima Midnight. What's that guy's name? It's got a single name. Anyway, I was bugged by the CGI on him. He looked like a cartoon, kind of. It didn't look like a, you know... like Groot. Look, Groot looks real.
Yeah, okay. He does.
This alien.
Also, I like Teenage Groot, by the way.
Yeah, and Nicole.
That's pretty good.
But the Proxima Midnight, that was the female. They did her well. There's a whole storyline between those sons and daughters of Thanos, that group. They go out. In fact, Infinity Crusade, I think it's one of them. It's all about them. In fact, go back and listen to a couple of podcasts ago, and we talked about it in depth, where there's a whole storyline about them getting that first stone that happened before Infinity War came along. So there's a whole lot of storyline with those people.
Oh, for sure.
And you're right. They just didn't seem as tough as they could have been.
Yeah, you would have thought that there would be more battles there. I understand that it needed to lead, you know, everything had a means to an end, because everyone had to have their battle with Thanos and lose. To really justify how it was going, but man, I thought that he could have traveled a better pack of dudes. All right, so I wanted to get back to Black Panther.
Okay,
it set records as well.
Yeah,
did it set records with you? Was it everything that you expected? Did it surpass?
It did surpass. I was wondering. It was one of those. Well, like when we talked about Black Panther, we talked about Wonder Woman before too. You know,
yeah.
It was one of those that Wonder Woman, I'm like, oh my gosh, please let this one be done right. And they did way more than right with Wonder Woman. They made it, you know, really well. Yeah. So Black Panther, I walked in, I was like, well, Marvel's already doing it right. I know they're going to do this right.
Yeah.
Just how much fun am I going to have? You know, so it wasn't a hope like that, but it's a hope that I know I'm going to have a lot of fun. And it took me beyond a lot of fun. It took me to, I mean, Wakanda. I mean, that's one of that country that doesn't exist but does. It was like, you know, they created this country. And so it's really nice. And it's like, oh, that's a lot like what I pictured. And, you know, in fact, in that one also, they used several scenes that were directly from a comic book.
Directly.
Like whenever he, in Black Panther, when he was being challenged and he's hanging over the edge of that waterfall.
Dude.
And just about, that's an exact... frame from one of the comics.
That's so scary. My hands were sweaty.
It was a crazy fight scene. So, but yeah, I'd say they exceeded.
I think so too.
Yeah,
I really do. I very much enjoyed Black Panther.
And you know what? Here's the thing. I think with Marvel, they keep getting better and better.
Yeah.
They started out with Iron Man, and Iron Man was like, oh, you know, okay, we had X-Men, we had this, let's see what's going to mess up. I'm like, no. Hey, that was accurate. That's really good. And then, you know, some, you know, Captain America, they did really well. And then they said, we're going to do Guardians of the Galaxy. And I'm like, okay, a talking squirrel, a talking tree, and some crazy guy from Earth. Or actually, I was wondering if they're going to do Adam Warlock. More about that late guy later.
More later.
But anyway, so I was like, oh, why are they doing that? There's just no reason. Well, oh, gosh. And then that movie rocked. You know, yeah. Totally changed the world.
Great.
And it was fun. It was everything. I'm like, wow, okay, they can do anything they want to now. So anymore, I walk into a Marvel movie, and it's, you know.
When was the last time you were disappointed?
With a Marvel movie?
Yeah.
Marvel Cinematic Universe, I can't say that I've really been disappointed. Thor the Dark World was eh. That was like the most eh of them all. None of them I hated. None of them I hated. But then again, you have the non-Marvel movies, the like Sony and all those other guys' studios, like Fantastic Four. They have not got that right since they put out like three or four movies.
Yeah, I'm surprised. See, that's why I'm surprised you didn't like it, because there's like five of them.
Yeah, then none of them are good.
But they all do well in the box office, so that's why they just keep.
Well, because people keep saying, "Oh, crap, they did it wrong." Yeah, they paid the money too late; you can't get your money back. So, yeah, but I don't know. It's if Marvel took hold of that, that'd be awesome, because it'd be along the lines of, "Yeah, I know they're going to do good. This is just let's see how good."
Yeah, you know? I got you.
And I love Marvel movies.
So you brought up Thor a second ago. you said that one was just the blast of the blah.
Thor Dark World, the
Thor
second.
Dark World. I do. No, I thoroughly enjoyed Ragnarok.
Yes.
Thor put out a little Instagram post today thanking the fans for making, you know, this a box office number one, breaking records worldwide, stuff like that. But in the beginning of the video, and this is going to loop around to what we talked about earlier, he was in a gym working out, and he goes, oh, I just figured I'd start this video off in the gym. He grabs a very small weight, starts curling it, and he goes, The Rock always starts his videos off in the gym. A little bit of a shot, because Rock always gets on Instagram and says, want to thank the fans for breaking records on this movie. Doing
that.
Just a little shot at The Rock, oh, wow. Man. Maybe he's mad that The Rock's not in these comic book movies with him. What do you think?
Actually, The Rock will be in an upcoming comic book movie. He is playing a character named Black Adam, but it's a DC movie.
Oh.
It's and that's Shazam's enemy.
I got no interest. I'll probably see it because The Rock's in it.
God, I can't think of the guy's name that played Shazam. Playing Shazam.
Oh, you said Shazam. I thought you said Kazam, played by Shaq in 1994.
No.
He was a rapping genie. What's up?
No. The guy, did you ever see this TV series?
Shazam Bolts?
What? No. Did you ever see the TV series Chuck, where he's a spy because he's got a computer implant?
No, I'm sorry.
Well, anyway,
I know what the show is. I've not seen the show.
That actor's playing Shazam.
Oh, Chuck is?
Yeah.
Okay. That's still not interesting to me.
And I forget who's playing the kid, because, you know, it's a kid that says the word Shazam, and he becomes the hero. It used to be called Captain Marvel, but Marvel sued and got their property back.
I gotcha.
So it now has to be Shazam.
Well, that's cool. That's good for Chuck.
Yeah, but The Rock is going to be his enemy, so that's going to be awesome. And you know what? With Chuck's humor?
Yeah.
And that's one thing I always wondered. Why'd they get this skinny, nerdy guy to play Shazam? He's like a buff superhero. Well, looking at the costumes, he's buffed out. But second of all, it's like he's a very humorous type of guy.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Good timing.
We all know The Rock. Oh, The Rock is awesome at humor. And, with them two together in a DC comic book, maybe it's going to be more fun.
People are going to check it out. It's a Rock movie.
That's true.
He's going to sell it. He's the highest grossing movie star right now. Action movies.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
He does the best
me.
In the box office.
Well, look at how many movies he had last year. What, 75?
Dude,
he's in a lot
of stuff.
Every month there's
a
Rock movie.
But the thing is, they're all good. And you know what? Yeah. He even does his own TV show. You've not seen it. I know you're not in sports, but he has his own show on HBO called Ballers. He plays a sports agent. It's a great show. Huh. It's not for this demographic that we're talking to currently.
Right.
Sorry, nerds. So we'll just move on.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing that surprised me. When he does, like, Jumanji, you know.
Was great.
It's like you're sitting there like, Jumanji, why is he doing
Hey.
Oh my gosh, this is so much fun.
Jack Black stole the show in Jumanji.
He did.
He really did.
But I will say that I love the team of Kevin Hart and Dwayne Johnson.
Absolutely.
But and 100%. The CIA movie too.
Yes, that was great. I was laughing so hard.
And I mean, yeah, that's a great team up. It's like
really
the Abbott and Costello of today, I think. Those guys should do lots of movies together. But Jack Black, playing a girl playing into a guy.
And also the redhead that was in the movie. I can't think of her name.
Karen Gillan.
Thank you.
Doctor Who.
And she was in
Infinity War.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she plays Nebula. Yeah, and also in all the galaxies. But she was not hard on the eyes. No.
Ever since she's on Doctor Who, I've liked her. So, but anyway.
Doctor Who. Okay. Where was I going to go?
I don't know.
So this is where I'm at. So I'm in, man. I'm into comic book movies. Honestly, if it comes out in the theater, I'm jumping on your bandwagon. We're going to go see it.
Okay.
I'm going to figure out. So what I'm saying, what I'm asking is, besides Deadpool, which is separate, it's different.
Right.
What's coming up, man? What can I look forward to, you know? Or is this kind of going to wrap things up for a little bit? And
comic
then,
books?
Yeah. As far as like the Avengers series. I know Ant-Man's coming out, but I'm not all about that life.
Ant-Man, you got to give it a try.
It will probably be funny.
Watch the first one.
Right. And I like him.
I can't think of the Mexican actor in there. He steals the show.
Pena?
Whatever, man.
Michael Pena?
Yeah, is it? Yeah, I think
He's the Mexican character in most movies.
And he's freaking hilarious. And then the Russian character, I forget who's out doing that one
as well.
Well,
maybe we should pull this up on IMDb, man.
Reaching for my phone trying to find
these gentlemen.
They do a great job. I mean, especially Michael Pena. Yeah, I'm 99% sure that's who that is. And if it's not, I have to re-record this whole podcast.
The whole podcast. All right, I'm looking at number one, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we're looking at Paul Rudd, main character, obviously. So you're talking about Corey Stoll, probably, as Yellow Jacket?
Darren
Cross?
Yep.
Is that the Russian guy? Oh, no.
No.
Paxton, is he your Russian guy? What's the Russian guy's name, bro?
He's one of the assistants, man.
But it is Michael Pena.
Aha, uh-huh, see? That's the important part. I don't have to start the podcast over.
Yep.
But anyway, he steals that.
Wood Harris is in that movie. That's cool.
Yeah, you would love. Oh, yeah. You would love that movie.
Scroll. Let me know who you're talking about. But I'm a big Paul Rudd fan, for sure.
Uh-huh. So, I forgot Bobby Cannavale's in this.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
I'm a big fan of him. Have you seen
Me
Vinyl?
Too.
I need to get you my HBO password so you can watch Vinyl.
There we go.
You will get into that show.
I wouldn't mind that a bit. There he is.
Who we got?
Kurt. He played Kurt.
Kurt.
It's the one on the...
His name is Kurt.
So...
David, we'll call him Kurt.
Yeah. He was like the hacker type, Russian hacker. But you'd love it. You got to see it.
All right, man.
And give it a chance.
I'll give her a shot.
And plus, you know, the woman going to be playing Wasp is pretty hot.
So. Okay. So, back to my original question.
Yeah.
What's coming out? What can I look forward to?
Okay. Ant-Man and Wasp. You've also got the Aquaman movie.
Aquaman, very nice.
That's not Marvel, but right. I'm hoping they'll do it like they did Wonder Woman and do a good job with it.
Talk about a good-looking dude. Jason Momoa, that's his name, right?
Yes.
I think they'll do him right.
His
but
eyebrows freaking rock.
All right. Yeah, yeah. Cool, cool.
I love those eyebrows.
Did
I
you like his
jealous.
Character in Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Or did you even get to that part?
Yeah. I got passed up. In fact, that's probably one of the reasons why I quit.
Because he died?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the second season of Game of Thrones.
But the fact that he had the Queen of the Dragons as wife? Yeah.
She is not hard on the eyes either. I got in trouble for talking about that on a podcast. Talking about her naked. So, yeah. We'll not jump into that this round.
No, huh? No.
Anyways, please.
But, I love Jason Momoa, and I think he did a great job in the Justice League movie.
I think he did great. What I didn't like about it was he was, I want to say that he was standing next to Flash.
Okay.
And they were shooting it from up top to make him look smaller. And it's like, no. You need to make this giant dude look like a f***ing giant.
Yep.
Close-ups. Let's see how broad those shoulders are. Let's see his biceps sometime. Don't make him the same size as that little Flash guy.
Exactly.
Man.
Like, why did they do that? I mean, and the Flash is younger. The Flash is...
Yeah,
I mean,
he's supposed to be like Spider-Man.
Yes, exactly. And
small, condescending.
Aquaman is the king of Atlantis.
So, God damn it, man.
Yeah, you're right. That bugged me. But, hey, at least the character part of it was right. He was funny. He had a little bit of the I'm the king type attitude.
Yeah,
so, you know.
He did.
And hopefully they'll do the movie that way and do good. Okay, so also, you know, as non-comic book, you've got the Han Solo movie coming out.
You know what? I'm really excited for that.
Me too.
You
know, what's your reason why?
Well, one, I like the fact that it's focused on Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
Two, my boy Childish Gambino... He's going to be in it. He's playing Billy Dee's character.
Oh, yeah. Lando Calrissian.
Yeah, so I imagine he's going to have a big spot in this movie.
That's
and I
the
really
reason I
want
to see it is Lando Calrissian. I want to see, basically, it's Lando Calrissian's origin story, as well as Han Solo's, but mainly his. I want to see that. It's like, that's going to be cool.
Dude, for me, and I know that he's not his stuff isn't really up your alley. One, he's a great rap artist. Like, mm-hmm. he's very,
he did something recently that.
This is America. It's a really weird music video.
Okay.
We should probably watch it and do a podcast while we watch it live.
Unlike the new Kanye song, this one's actually
the
good.
Poop song, which poop. Yeah, that was stupid. I was very angry with that.
Yeah, but anyway.
But Donald Glover, he does ATL, which is a great f-ing TV show.
Right.
He's a, like I said, he's a great artist. He's a lyricist, so he's pretty deep. But dude, I'm pretty much, if he's in it, I'm buying. He's very talented, and it's like Jordan Peele. Next movie he puts out,
yeah.
I'm seeing that.
Hell yeah.
Hey, did you love Get Out?
Oh, yeah, that was so
dude, it was.
Cool. It starts
it
out.
It messed me up, man.
It starts out being an obvious horror movie.
Yeah.
Then you get to the end and you're like, and most people are like, oh my God, that's weird. Me, it's like, that's just touched on the inner sci-fi fan. You know, I'm like,
yes.
Oh my God, that's awesome. You know?
Dude, I just want to say
you
that.
You had
the...
me all the way through the movie. Now you just killed it.
Yeah. So. I want to say that the mom in that movie, the one that's very hypnotizing and whatever,
oh, yeah.
she was gorgeous and 40-year-old virgin. We jump, folks. We jump.
So, all right. So,
so no comic book movies really to look forward to for me.
There's a lot of them. No.
Look for Deadpool.
Your phone.
Look for Iron Man.
Oh, my phone?
Yeah.
All yours, brother.
Give me a browser.
I will give you my browser. Are you on IMDb?
No.
Or the browser?
A browser.
All right. Stay off my porn sites.
Otherwise,
dude.
I have to get up and go.
You know what? I was thinking about bringing my laptop.
Just a search, Google or something like that. So.
Go ahead, brother.
All right.
You do that, I'll do this.
All right, so, of course, we got Deadpool 2. You're getting prepared for that by watching Deadpool 1.
I have
1.
Deadpool 1 right here. So this will be your just like your Kill Bill experience because I'm not going to have any space between, really.
I mean, I honestly think that they're not going to have it so that you could basically, you can watch this new one by itself and not have to worry. But it's always good to have the original or the first
absolutely.
One because it's gonna be good. All right, Nudity. So other
nice.
Comic book movies. This is the one. I knew there's one I was trying to remember specifically for you. Of course, Ant-Man and Wasp, right? Well, the next Marvel film that's not Marvel Cinematic Universe, but it is a film that you got to watch, and I'm going to watch. It's going to be awesome. Is Venom.
Yeah, that looks great.
Oh, I can't think
Tom
of
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy, yes. And the first time I saw the video or the trailer, the first trailer, I'm like, all right, we'll see why they need to do that, and they're doing it all wrong because Venom starts out with Spider-Man.
Yeah,
it's a symbiote that latches onto Spider-Man, and that's why he looks the way he does because he looks like an evil Spider-Man.
Yeah,
well, they're not going to have him have anything to do with Spider-Man, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, and again, it's not Marvel Cinematic Universe; it's the people.
Man.
But there's also rumors that they're going to make it go that way. They're going to lie.
Eventually,
basically, they lied to us. So
I gotcha.
So, but that's another comic movie coming out.
And when is that one?
I'm thinking that's. October. Yep, October.
Okay.
And then Aquaman, of course, is December.
Damn.
So those are the ones we got.
What do we got in the summer? Because it's a big summer for movies.
Oh, I forgot. I forgot about the X-Men movie. X-Men Dark Phoenix. That's with the chick from Game of Thrones, the redhead. Joffrey's wife for a while.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Yep, yeah, she's hot.
She's going to be playing Jean Grey. She's going to be the Dark Phoenix.
Yeah.
And so that. And then Spider-Man... Into the Spider-Verse, they got an animated movie coming out of that. Incredibles 2, another animated,
which
is really
so
good.
So this is a big summer for kid movies, too.
Yeah, I would not really consider them a kid's movie.
Incredibles?
Yeah.
That's an animated kid's movie.
It's a kid's movie, but there's some good stuff in there.
Oh, absolutely. No, I'm not clowning, but, you know, that's geared towards kids.
Yeah.
But it's good.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, especially the Frozones played by...
Samuel Jackson,
where he says, "Where is my super suit?" You know, it's like next word should be mother. You know,
mother. Yeah. Sorry, I know this is edited, so have fun with that.
But it's got the adult moments, keeps people. Plus, it's a good story. But yeah, Hellboy is coming out January of next year. That's going to be good.
None of this is catching me, man. Like
Hellboy is awesome. Is
this the reboot? Because if this is number one of a series, I'm down.
It's
but if
one.
This is. Oh, it is. Series, who's playing Hellboy now?
Let me see here. David Harbour.
I got nothing.
Ian McShane. I'm just reading the cast. They're not saying who's who. David Harbour, Ian McShane, Mila Jovovich. I know she's not playing Hellboy. So, Mila Jovovich. Okay, so yeah. Ian McShane is playing Trevor. Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
Trevor.
So, David Harbour is Hellboy. Okay, then you got X-Men Dark Phoenix is next year. Sorry.
So disappointed.
Yeah, Captain Marvel, March of next year.
March of next year. So we basically got a year for the next. Okay, I can do that.
And then April is the Shazam.
Dude, I will tell you that I've pretty much been spoiled this year by going to movies with you. We got to go see Thor. Got to see...
Black Panther?
Well, we didn't see that together. But because of you, I went and saw it.
Right.
I saw Infinity War with you, but because of you as well. Mm-hmm. It's been a really good year for movies for me to jump on this train. We did see Tomb Raider, which was good. What was one with Aquaman in it that we just saw?
Justice League.
Justice League was good. We saw those back to back, that and Thor, and dude, I've just been, you know.
Well, also coming up is an untitled Avengers sequel, which is originally Infinity War Part 2. So
it's coming out when?
But they don't have a date. That's going to come out May of 2019. So.
So 2 years.
May
for
of
that
next
one.
Year. No, May of next year.
Oh shit, we're in 18.
And Spider-Man Homecoming 2 is July of next year. So the next 2 years, what I'm looking at here is that all sorts of cool stuff. New Mutants.
Mutants.
Wonder Woman 2, November 1st, 2019.
Very nice.
And
you're getting towards the end of the year now.
Yeah, and then so probably got a whole bunch of untitled films at that point. So they got it's good times. It's the years for comic book movies.
I have a feeling we will see a Black Panther within the next 2 years.
Oh, yeah,
The next version.
They better have. I think that might be one of those unnamed, and they may push it back. Who knows? I'm hoping. I mean, come on. That was such an awesome movie. And besides, they got the good metal there. They got the vibranium.
Yeah, they do have the vibranium, my man.
All right. So that's what you get to look forward to. We'll do these. So Deadpool. We got to go see that one.
You're going to go see it Friday with your son.
Hopefully, theoretically.
Well, let's do this. If he cancels, let me know. But you should open a line of communication with him now. Like, hey, man, if you're not going with me, you got to tell me. Because I'm not sitting around playing with my putt another night.
Yeah, and tomorrow night, they're doing the preview night at Eagle Theater in Robinson.
Like midnight?
No, it's actually going to be during the evening, early evening, like 7.
Really?
Yeah. And they give away prizes.
You going to that?
I don't know. I don't usually go the opening nights. I did for a while, but I learned quickly that, you know, I'd rather let a whole bunch of people have fun together, and I'll just go see it whenever it's only like 2 or 3.
Yeah, but when we go, it's been pretty busy.
Yeah, it's true.
Times.
I mean,
but it is a fight because those theaters, they're not big by any means.
No, and that's the thing. If I can, basically, here's the deal: if I can pick out my seat without anybody interfering. I don't mind what night it is, but you can never do that on opening night because the people that get there before me pick my seat that I wanted.
For sure.
So, but yeah, I don't know. We'll see. But I'll be out of town Sunday. So maybe it's either
Friday or Saturday.
Yeah. So we'll have to check
in. I'm in the bullpen, man. You just put me in the game, coach.
All right.
Let me ask you about this. Cobra Kai. What do you know about it?
Cobra Kai. We should ask Eric Billingsley about this. Eric Billingsley has apparently loved it on the podcast.
I got you.
Of course, he's a huge fan of Karate Kid. So I never was a big fan of Karate Kid. It's like it was there, you know.
Yeah.
And it's, you know,
you know what I preferred to Karate Kid? Ninja Turtles.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what else I preferred to Karate Kid? The Three Ninjas. Rocky loves Emily, man.
So all those other ninja movies got you. But yeah, and you know what? It just was okay. I mean, it was nothing. So I'm not really over interested to see it. Plus, it's on a YouTube pay service.
Oh, that's the only way you can see it?
Yeah. They're YouTube stupid. Red. Yeah. And so it's like...
You know what? I would do YouTube Red if they were partnered with any of the game systems. Like, I can't get it on my TV.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, you know what? I probably could in the living room. We probably have YouTube app on the TV, now that I'm thinking about it. Uh-huh. You could probably get YouTube Red through that.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know, man.
Well, I know I can get it on my Roku, but I just don't because I'm already paying for
things.
Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime.
Damn, dude.
That's enough.
Yeah.
Oh, and also Funimation, which has a lot of Japanese anime that Isaac and I watch together. But yeah, I don't know.
So that works out for you because you're not really into live TV. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no.
I'm into sports, so I've gotta have access to live TV. Man, like the playoffs are going on right now.
Yep.
Basketball and hockey. Hockey, the number one sport to me, and basketball, my favorite sport to watch. So I'm in heaven right now.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do that if I only had the streaming services.
Right. Yeah. You know, I'll tell you, I've been having fun with we had Dish TV.
Yeah.
And, you know, all these, I could DVR stuff. I could VCR way back. Anyway.
I mean, basically, it's the same theory. Yeah. It's just digital.
Yeah. And so I DVR it, get it all recorded. I could watch it anytime. Well, that kind of got me into the habit of not having to watch live TV. Well, now that these streaming services aren't nearly as expensive as cable.
Yeah.
You know, cable's 100 and some odd a month.
Yeah.
These are about 100 and some odd a year, you know? So it makes sense there. And there's so much good stuff on there. It's like, I don't need
it. Oh, dude,
so
there's so much. That's the thing about, like, so I still have Netflix. I pay for WWE Network. And I also, right now, while I have my free subscription part, mm-hmm. I have HBO Go.
Okay.
And so I have a ton of shit to choose from because all of these apps have so much content, man.
Right.
So, you know, while I didn't have cable for 6 months, dude, these apps got me through it by all means. I just missed live sports.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only thing that sucked.
Well, you have to go to live games, actually, maybe.
Dude, I've been going to live games lately. I've went to a St. Louis Cardinals baseball game just weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. So, well, I don't know. Yeah, but I love the new streaming world and the fact that I can watch whenever I want. Now, I can't necessarily watch whatever I want.
Yeah.
I'm getting away from the CW, and I'm not able to DVR that, but they've got a streaming channel. Since they're a local channel, I can still catch them streaming. That's cool. But, like, Sci-Fi Network?
Yep.
Not a local channel network. I don't subscribe. I can't get any of that stuff.
Yep. So. Yeah. So absolutely. Yes. It's same here.
It's a give and take.
You definitely run into that.
Yeah.
You miss certain things.
Yeah. So they're there, but I'm really getting to the point. It's like I can never watch everything I wanted to watch anyway. Nope. There's so much stuff out there.
Exactly.
Just give me the movies.
You have an advantage though that you and your son are interested in the same things.
Yeah.
I have a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old.
Well, like, they're interested in everything right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
At the same time.
But try to get a 4-year-old to sit still a fucking Hitler documentary.
You know what? I don't know if he'd sit still, but he'd definitely enjoy Avengers.
I think so, too. And that's the goal. You know what? If I don't go to this Deadpool with you, I'm taking a little man. We're going to go see Infinity War.
Ah.
If it's still in the theater. I honestly think it may not be where I'm at.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Because they only have 2 shows.
Yeah. Well, yeah, my first theater experience with Isaac, first time, he was just crawling all over. He was, like, getting on my lap. He was like, Dad, did you see this part? Oh, Dad. And I'm like, Isaac, there's other people here. You know? Then I was like, okay, I'm not taking him again. Then I took him again at about 4 years old.
Got better.
He was better. So. But if the movie lost his attention, he was all over me again, just like that.
Yep.
So, I tried to pick a movie that would grab his attention more, and it did, but not as much as it needed to.
So my first experience with Kellen, we took him when he was either 2.5 or 3, Finding Dory. So we were like, okay, he'll definitely be interested in this because he had seen Finding Nemo.
Okay.
And because of the colors and it's mm-hmm. fish and he loves animals and everything like that. And I was absolutely right. He didn't go crazy, anything like that. Didn't crawl all over us. He did have to sit on mom or dad's lap because that's just what he wanted to do to watch the movie.
Right.
And he did talk a little bit. He was pointing stuff out like, Dad, see this? Look at that.
Yeah.
Dad, what's the name? Stuff like that. Absolutely. But for the most part, man, pretty good stuff.
That's kind of like when you were in the theater with with me
absolutely.
And Avengers. Yeah. Gil, what's this guy? What's this guy?
That's what's up, man.
Well, I think that's a great ending point, wouldn't you think?
Hi-yo!
So what I'll do is I guess I'll edit some stuff together, especially all those F-bombs you got. So people, when you hear the beeping, it's not Morse code.
It's definitely me. I apologize.
But that's the fun in it.
Suck it, nerds.
So I should have this one up. And then basically it's going to be a summer of Infinity War because the way everybody wants to talk about Infinity War.
Absolutely.
How awesome it was. So.
Dude, have me back anytime.
All right.
If you want to just talk about literally this water bottle, let's do it.
Well, I think we'll be talking Deadpool.
Absolutely, we will.
Because you're going to watch the original and you're going to go see the
very nice. Yeah, so 100%.
All right, man. All right. Well, that's it for the Nerd Up podcast this time around. I'm Gil T. Wilson. Don't forget, you can reach me at Gil Wilson, or you can tweet the Nerd Up podcast at Nerd Up podcast. And you want anybody to get a hold of you?
Yeah, absolutely. Brett Hartman on Facebook, Brett _ Hartman on Twitter, or at Kid Canada. I think it's cool you can have like two little deals there. You give your real name, and also I could search Gil Wilson on Twitter and probably find you. Probably not. Who knows? But really, there's not too many Brett Hartmans out there, so you get kind of lucky. Yeah, hit me up. Hit me a follow. I really just retweet and share funny. I don't have too many original thoughts that'll annoy you. I won't debate you about guns, our president, or you know where our taxes go.
Taking the fun out of Twitter now.
Well, hey, listen, whatever you got to do, man. But if you want a solid retweet, man, I am your guy. Memes are us right here.
Awesome. All right, and like we say at the end of every, well, before I do that, don't forget, buy our merchandise. Get those Nerd Up T-shirts and stuff. Con season's in full.
Full effect
right now, and everybody has
you
to.
You got interviews coming up. You got cons coming up. You're going to.
I'll be going to Indie PopCon. I kind of haven't done any interviews this year. I did less last year
at the cons. You mean?
Yeah.
I was gonna say you've had a lot of interviews pop up for other stuff like that horror movie.
Yeah.
The guy you just had on very recently.
Yeah. The comic book artist.
You've been doing interviews, man.
Yeah, but just not at cons.
Yeah, I
want to enjoy those. I think is what it is lately.
It takes the stress out of it.
Yeah.
It's less hustle and bustle.
Yeah. I don't have to worry about what time am I gonna meet this guy. So, but so they got cons going on and all sorts of fun stuff. So who knows what's gonna happen. When you wear those T-shirts, the Nerd Up Podcast T-shirts at the con,
dude, take a picture and tweet it and or tag Nerd Up for free. Okay, probably be stickers if we're honest, but you can get free.
That's right.
Hit a picture up, tag the podcast. Gil will hook it up, man.
I actually just ordered a bunch of stickers today.
There you go. Holler at your boy. I can't wait for my new one to come in.
All right. So, and like we say at the end of every episode, stay
nerdy.